Blog Talk Radio.
This show is brought to you by the Unknown Radio Network, consisting of the very best selection of paranormal internet radio shows anywhere on the web. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Unknown Radio Network.
Welcome to Terrify Radio. I'm one of your hosts, Kevin of Unknown Paranormal, and joining me is the always unpredictable, I guess you could say, Jodie Parks.
Hello, how are you tonight? How are you?
I'm good.
All I can say is your new song was long, and that when you're all alone, all you have to do is pick up the phone and you call Ghostbusters.
Well, I just decided to change it up a little bit just
like
for tonight.
It. Yeah. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I wanted to give us a little blast from the past.
Yeah, it felt good. What are we going to do next week? We got to come up with something good. Something different. No. Next week's special.
Yeah, we'll come up with something. We'll come up with something. And then the following week, we'll have to come up with something as well because that's our crazy one-year anniversary show.
I don't think it'll be as crazy as Scott Grimwald.
I don't know. We can get pretty darn crazy.
Yeah, that's true. Justin's a little wild. He gets a little butt wild.
Yeah, we're gonna cook up some cool things, you know. So, yeah.
Okay.
So how's everything going in your neck of the woods?
Good.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Lots of things going on. I'm extremely busy with residential cases, different things involving my team, new members, whatnot, investigations. I'll be speaking at the Downtown Paranormal Fest in Shreveport, Louisiana, not this weekend, but the next weekend, alongside Dakota Lawrence, Jeremy Jones, Kim and Eric Ringzinger from the Paranormal Encounters Network will be broadcasting live from there. LA Spirits will be there, good friends of mine in the field, so a lot of cool people. There's a lot of people I haven't met that are strictly in Louisiana, and they'll be there, so I'll get to meet some new people. And
yeah.
I'll be speaking twice. I'll be speaking from 1 to 2 and 3 to 4 on that day. And we'll be doing my team, myself, Dad, and Shonda will be at Logan Mansion on Friday and Saturday night doing a little mini investigation alongside the owner who's going to talk about some of the activity there, which the place is haunted. We did an investigation there and had a lot of things going on, so be cool to get back in there.
Mm-hmm.
And another event that will go ahead. Wait a minute here. Oh, my computer. Another event that Jody and myself are involved in. Let me pull this up so we can give Laura Calhoun the proper props for putting on this event, which is going to be a really great event. So if you're in Texas or you have time to come to Texas, there is Resurrection Talent is... Hopefully I can pronounce this right because I'm not good in Spanish. But Resurrection Town is putting on Dia de los Muertos at the Victoria Black Swan Inn. And that will start on Friday, November the 1st, and go through the weekend. If you've never heard of the Victoria Black Swan Inn, it is a highly haunted location for us here in Texas. All the investigators here in the great state of Texas, we know of the Black Swan Inn, and a lot of us have been there. I have not. It's been one of the places on my bucket list, so I get to cross this one off. But here's the lineup that will be there so far, and it will be changing as Laura keeps adding folks to the event. But right now, Masters of Ceremony will be Angelica Rogers, which I've met, and she is a cool chick. And Victor Salazar, Jason Musgrove from The Outer Edge, which I've heard he's a good guy. I haven't met him in person or talked to him, so that'll be a cool one. Richard Contreras, paranormal investigator and demonologist, which you and I both know him.
Crazy Mexican.
Yeah, he's my crazy Mexican. And then we have Scott Grimwald, paranormal investigator, comedian, radio show host, investigator reporter on Travel Channel's hit TV show Paranormal Paparazzi. And he is a crazy, funny dude. So highly entertaining.
Yeah.
And we have from the Unknown Radio Network, Kevin Bryan and Justin Eric of Fort Worth Paranormal and Ghost Hunting Texas Style right here on the network. Myself, Jody, of course, and one of Jody's counterparts, running mates, you could say, Phil Summers, paranormal investigator. So it's going to be cool. There's going to be a masquerade ball on Saturday. Lots of things going on. There'll be an investigation, private investigation of the location.
This is the first time the location has ever done this, correct?
Yes. And some of the prices, just to throw that out there, general admission per day is $50, includes all the open activities. VIP, there's VIP weekend passes for $180. VIP paranormal investigation, and it's $100. You get to investigate alongside all of us that I mentioned prior. And there's a masquerade ball, includes dinner and one free drink, and that's $75. There's going to be a masquerade ball costume contest. And for any more information to get your discounted tickets, you can go to www.resurrectiontalentllc, all one word, BSI, .eventbrite.com. It's on Eventbrite, and that's where you book tickets and whatnot. So, going to be a good one, very good one, and lots of my friends will be there, and so should be interesting.
It's going to be a great time. I can't wait. My God,
about this, Jody, is just the lineup that she has so far, and a lot of the people in the lineup are from Texas, and we're a little bit different down here in Texas when we do events, and we stay away from the drama, and we focus more on having fun and cutting up and laughing as much as we can. That's what we do down here.
That's what you gotta do. That's a great lineup. Everybody gets along. Everybody's
going to
have a great time. I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, yes, definitely. And before Megan comes on, our guest tonight, Miss Megan Campbell, which is a good personal friend of Miss Jody Parks, so this ought to be interesting, getting these two girls together live on air.
Yes.
Let me pull up her bio here. My computer will cooperate. And here we go. Megan is an independent paranormal investigator. She began her work in the paranormal field about 6 years ago, doing independent research and investigations. She founded the University of Iowa Paranormal Society, which sadly disappeared after she transferred university. Megan then joined CCPI, a local Iowa team, where she remained as an investigator for nearly 3 years. While with CCPI, Megan investigated several locations across the state of Iowa. Last fall, Jody Parks and Megan Campbell teamed up, at which point Megan joined Paranormal Hot Squad. And Jody and Megan are currently working together on several up-and-coming projects, films, research, and investigation. She plans to continue researching and investigating the paranormal, hopefully on a nationwide basis. Her favorite piece of equipment is the ghost box, and she loves to provoke.
Wonder why her and I get along so well. Oh my God.
I wonder.
Yeah. Megan is awesome. She kicks ass.
Oh, Lord.
Has she called in yet?
Huh?
Has she called in yet?
Not yet.
Okay, well, I'll just give you like a briefing of how I came across Megan.
She's on hold now, so she can hear you.
Okay, put her on.
All right. Megan, you there?
Hi, guys. Yes, I'm here. How are you guys?
Hi.
Oh, great.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
I'm excited to do this show. I'm super excited. Glad to be here.
Yeah. We get to talk about crazy stuff tonight.
I'm actually kind of scared pairing you two together live on air.
It's going to be an adventure.
So tell me and everybody out there how you met Megan.
Well, I met her team at Scarefest 2 years ago, and they told me about Megan, and I was like, ooh, I'm going to steal her. And they're like, nuh-uh. And I'm like, uh-huh, you know. So I teased them about it. Well, when I got home, I went and I think I friended Megan right away and just started, like, teasing her. Like, I would see her on their wall, and I'd come over and be like, stealing her. And she'd be like, no, you're not. And she'd come on and be like, whatever, Jody. Don't listen to them. But so it wasn't until I did the event at Farrar and we worked together and, you know, I realized, God, you know, Megan is for a woman, like, she takes control. She just, you know, she has a style a lot like me, you know. She's brave.
Very
and
true. Very
she
true.
She goes for it. We are a lot alike, so, you know, we have to work together. We work good together. And we have fun doing it. So that's how
that
I
we
met
do.
Megan and I have already done, like, a lot of locations together, you know, for such a short period of time.
What is it, 4 investigations or 3 that we've done so far?
1, 2, 3. 3? And we're getting ready to do 1 soon, so that'll be 4. But we actually do have 2 movies that we've done, and one of them's kind of boring, I'm not going to lie, you know, but one of them is pretty much off the charts. And it's pretty crazy. And Megan, do you want to talk about it?
Which one?
Edinburgh Manor.
Oh, Edinburgh, yes. Edinburgh was pretty crazy. Edinburgh Manor is an old abandoned insane asylum here in Iowa. It started out as a poor farm, and then it was a mental institution, and then it was a retirement home for the mentally challenged or mentally disabled or mentally unstable. So it's got a pretty wild history. But anyway, I mean, that place is just crazy active. Something like smacked me in the face in the basement. Jody tied me up a couple of times in that place.
Oh,
yeah.
And great she got stuff. Free. She got free.
I did. Yeah. What they did was I had these, like, knee-high leather high-heel boots on that had, like, lace-up straps. So I had them tie those to the legs of the chair, and then I had a leather strap that they tied my arms to the chair with. And I started seeing, like, shadows and people walking across the doorway in front of me, and I started freaking out. So I just wiggled my way out of there, and next thing they hear my high heels clicking down the hall and out the door.
while we were making fun of her, like, right before it, and one of the guys goes, wouldn't it be hilarious? She turned into, like, the exorcist, and, like, her head started spinning. And then, like, next thing you know, we hear her high heels, and we were like, what is that? And we were all, like, listening. And then DJ got up and ran down the hall, and you were just like, yeah, I had to get out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were not in a comfortable place at that time.
No, it was really strange. Like, I started to actually feel like I was a patient, like I was losing my mind. And, like, I just went nuts and, like, started trying to get out of it.
And previously in that same room, you had been scratched. That's why you chose that room, correct?
Yeah, I chose that room. It was on the women's side, and it's, like, the only room on that side that's painted, like, this purplish-pink color. And I was in that room the time before, a few months before this investigation, and something, like, I felt like a bee sting on my wrist, and something, I had three scratches, like, down half of my forearm. So that's why I chose to be tied up in that room.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's.
I don't know if I could do it. I don't know. See, if my team tied me up, they would leave me and never come back.
Well, that's the thing.
We
weren't
all the way down the hall, so if she screamed, we would have run down there, and we would have been right there.
Yeah.
A bunch of us, you know. We didn't go too far so that, it, you know, and we were listening to her scream, and I didn't know, like, if she was in trouble or not. So we had her, if she was in trouble, she was going to scream spaghetti, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, spaghetti. I don't know why, but.
So, you know, because it's not, you know, it's out of the norm. If you just started yelling spaghetti, you know, we'd be like, okay, she's in trouble, she's in spaghetti. But, yeah, then I was riding her.
Yes, she strapped me down, face down in one of the beds and, like, got on top of me, yanking the leather straps, like, screaming at this thing to come get me. Like, literally riding me on top of me. So, yeah, once we get this film released, you guys are going to have a joy watching that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were hearing some crazy stuff in there. That place was, you know, I think I saw my first shadow person ever there. And remember I told you about that? Like, when we walked in that room, like, I saw, like, a head go past, like, the window.
So yeah,
like,
I've seen.
Small, like, childlike. And I was like, I couldn't figure out if it was like some shadow from outside or if, you know, it was inside the room. But I think it was inside the room and it was like child-like height. And I just saw it walk past the window as I was walking in the door.
You know, it's weird that you say
all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's weird that you say it was, like, child-sized because also another time I was there, I literally watched this, like, child-sized black shadow mist thing crawl in. Like, I was standing in the middle of the hallway with, like, my feet spread apart, and I was watching this thing crawl in between my legs, and then it, like, started crawling up my legs. It was weird.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was pretty weird.
Yeah, you had something touching you. Like, I was standing right next to you, and something was touching your arm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
pretty sexual in there, too.
We got incredibly sexual in that place. Very sexual.
Did you get any results from all that?
Yeah, I mean, evidence-wise... Yeah, we got a lot of stuff on audio.
Yeah.
There was a lot of personal experiences, and we got a lot of, like, just little orbs and flying around, and the ghost box was kind of crazy. But I don't know. I think we did pretty well there. Oh my God, yeah, the Ghost Box was going crazy because we filmed there two nights. One night was like an event, and one night by ourselves with two CCPI guys. And I was down in the, it's like a, what are those things? The big freezers, the walk-in freezers. And we were in there investigating, and yeah, it was saying something about a mental institute, and it was saying all kinds of my ghost box was saying all kinds of crazy stuff in that room. And that's where they were seeing that guy that had, what did you say, like a straitjacket on?
Well, there's two guys that I've seen in the basement. One is like, I swear to God, he's like 8 feet tall, this huge black shadow thing with a top hat and a coat. And he wears boots, and you can hear his boots walking around the basement. And like, I have literally chased him around that basement, like, because I could hear his boots down the hall, and I'd run, and then I'd hear it like on the other side of the floor. But, and then there's like this dude in a white straitjacket, and we call him the Joker because he has this like creepy grin on his face. Another time that I was there, like, that Joker guy got 2 inches away from my face and, like, smiled at me. Ooh, so just be chilled.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that place was pretty cool. Ferrara is freaking awesome, too. That's, like, your stomping ground.
Oh, yeah, Ferrara is definitely my stomping ground. That, me and that place have like a love-hate relationship.
You know, a lot of people that have seen my videos, Fantasy Ghost Box, they don't really understand why I went in there and I was like asking for a blowjob, like, do you want a blowjob? And, you know, it was because of what, when I got there, you know, I went out, you know, hooked up with you, and I was like, all right, show me what you do here. And you took me up to the office, and you're like, you got to get aggressive with them. The more aggressive, like, sexually you are, the more responses you're going to get. And you immediately said, do you want a blowjob? And that thing started calling us a cunt and all kinds of stuff. And I was like, all righty then, you know. So when I went and did my solo, I was like, you know, I went in there and, you know, took it calm at first and nothing was going on. And then I asked, do you want a blowjob? And then I got that it wanted a blowjob. Remember?
Yep.
And,
oh, yeah.
You know, I followed your lead there, you know, because you've been called so many bad names there, right?
Oh, I've been called whore, slut, cunt, bitch, everything.
Wow.
Yeah, Kevin, you would love that place.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I've been in some pretty aggressive, dark places.
Those are my favorite places.
Then what are your favorite places? What do you like?
Just the dark, you know, I like to go after the nasty negative stuff. I haven't really dealt with a whole lot of demonic activity per se, but just like the really nasty, more human spirits. Like the one at the school was a guy who used to rape girls in the school. That, you know, I love going after that stuff and just being really provocative, and I feel like I get the best results out of it.
Right. Yeah. Well, Jody knows this. Yeah, there's a lot of dark, nasty stuff that I've come across down here in Texas.
Yeah,
love it.
Yeah, Texas is like, you know, and I was kind of the same, man. I got some podcast shit going on. You know? Like, with the locations that you can go to, like, there's bad stuff that happened there.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to a location next month that we've investigated twice, but it's one of those places that it's a home that no one lives in anymore, and it's strictly used on weekends for paranormal teams, and just about every weekend's always booked, and we're going there, and there's a lot of spirits there, but there's also a dark, nasty little bastard that's there too that likes to cuss us out on the ghost box, and then we piss him off because we pull out our Bible and start reading from the Bible, and it pisses him off more, and we finally just piss him off so much that he leaves for a little bit, or then he goes somewhere else, then he'll come back, and then we'll screw with him again, you know, because we're not scared of them, you know, especially demonic type things like there. And the homeowner is convinced it's just an angry spirit, but we know differently from all the cases we've dealt with these kind of things. And having paranormal teams going in there all the time, someone's opened the door and this thing has come in and it's there. But we're not going there this next month to really worry about that bastard. We're gonna do a lot of experiments. So if he'd like to chime in, he can. But if he starts talking shit, then we'll run him off.
Yeah.
I love those. They're so much fun to play with. You got
to
be careful, obviously. But, I mean, it's kind of fun to provoke them, you know. And it kind of, it makes you feel empowered, I guess.
Yeah, well, yeah. I only provoke them if they turn nasty on me first. If I'm going about my business and then they say they scratch one of my investigators or, you know, try to physically attack somebody, then now I'm going to go after their ass. You know, I'm going to show them no fear and show them, hey, that's not going to happen. Now, yeah, it'll backfire on you. I've had some of these nasty things come to my house and try to make my personal life hell. But, yeah, it's one of those chances you take sometimes, you know. I'm real laid back and real passive when it comes to investigating until you push that button. And then, yeah, my twin comes out.
The evil twin.
So, Megan, I know so much about Jody and how she got started and everything, but I haven't actually gotten to really talk to you. How did you get into the field? What really sparked your interest to get into paranormal?
Well, when I was a kid, when I was young, my parents got divorced, so I moved around a lot in my hometown and lived in a lot of older houses and a couple of older apartments, and had quite a few experiences as a kid. I remember, like, actually one of the houses that we lived in for a while was built by, on my biological father's side, it was built by, like, my great-great-great-grandfather, I want to say, and I mean, I had experiences there where I would be in the basement, like, watching TV, and I heard something upstairs, and I come upstairs, and all the silverware's on the floor, doors opening, closing, people walking around. And so, you know, as a kid, it never really scared me. It more fascinated me. And as I got older, I just started doing more reading and research and realized that people actually look for these things. And so I decided to just start, you know, looking for stuff. And I actually started out with my high school boyfriend at the time. His stepdad's ex-wife had died in the house that they were living in. So, you know, we just took a digital audio recorder, walked around his house, and once I got that first EVP where she said hello, I was just drawn from that point, and it just kind of snowballed from there.
Nice.
Yeah. Very interesting.
So it starts out somewhere in an old house.
Yeah. Since being in the field, have you got kind of, your body kind of got sensitive to, you know, knowing when something's in the room with you, that kind of thing? Because I know all of us, you know, the more we do these investigations, it's like our body gets in tune with what's going on in these buildings.
Yeah, I think part of it is that, you know, becoming accustomed to it and, you know, learning what to look out for and learn, kind of getting a feel for the environment. And I think it actually changed, like, I don't know, my personal belief is that being an investigator changes you spiritually. And, you know, then it changes you physically as well. So I think that you definitely are physically more in tune. But I've noticed that, I mean, I can be sitting perfectly fine, and then all of a sudden I feel like something is in the room with me, or like someone is standing next to me for some reason. So I'm not trying to say that I'm sensitive, but I think I am more aware of what's going on around me.
Oh, yeah. And I said 4 years ago when I got into the field that, you know, I'm sensitive as a rock. And now, you know, especially after my experience with one of my team members getting fully possessed, believe it or not. Yeah, I've actually witnessed an actual possession with my own eyes. But ever since then and battling that thing that night, it's like my body all of a sudden now, if there's anything evil, if there's anything inhuman that walks into the room or is in a home or wherever it is, I can pick it off when I walk in the house or in the building. I know it's there. You know, it's that stink that you can never shake off, right? So
yeah, for me, it's like a really nauseous feeling. Like it feels like somebody punches me in the stomach, and that's how I know that something inhuman is in the room. Is like it literally feels like someone punched me in the gut.
Yeah, for me, it's more like somebody. Yeah, it's like for me, it's like somebody taking a towel and wringing it out. You know how they keep twisting and twisting and twisting. That's what my stomach feels like.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So, what are some of the, you know, you're in Iowa, so you probably investigated a lot of places there. You've been to the Axe Murder House.
Oh, I've been to the Axe Murder House a few times. Yeah, I've had some good experiences there. I did it once at an event for American Ghost Hunter when I was, like, young in college. I think I was, like, 19. And then I went there twice with my team, CCPI. And one of the times, we actually laid in the beds and got the axe from the murders and had Johnny Hauser reenact all the murders. And that was pretty weird. He basically got possessed and almost killed all of us. And we got an EVP when he got down to the first floor to telling him to do it, said do it three times. Just weird stuff, yeah. Last time we were there was last April, so like a year and a half ago. And I put on one of the nightgowns and stood in the attic for some reason. That was my challenge of the night. So everyone else was out in the barn, and I was in the house alone in the attic with the old nightgown on. And I don't remember it, but they said that I was completely unresponsive. Like, they called me on the walkie, like, a bunch of times, and I didn't respond. And we had our DVR camera set up, so they were watching me just kind of stand there. And the only thing that I remember is this black shadow, like, standing a few inches away from my face and growling at me. But I don't remember hearing the walkie-talkie. I don't remember standing there for as long as I did. I guess I was there almost, like, 10 minutes, just completely frozen. Yeah, crazy stuff in the Axe House.
Yeah, that's one of the places that I have on my bucket list of places to go. I need
it's
to win the lottery so I can go to all these places.
Exactly. That's my goal.
Jody, have you been to the Axe Murder House?
No, I have not. I've been to two locations in Iowa, Farrar and Edinburgh. But nope, never been there. Yep. I'm sure it's amazing.
For me, though, honestly, I really like, I think Farrar is my favorite place in Iowa. And I think it's just because of the personal interaction I have with whatever is in there. I like it better than the Axe House. I get better results, and I get more terrified at Farrar. And for some reason, that, like, crazy rapist guy has chosen to latch onto me. I mean, he's followed me home before. Before I even went there, I saw him in a dream, and then the very next night, I saw the same guy as an apparition. I mean, every, you know, teams will be there and they'll get my name on their ghost box and audio recorder saying it wants to rape and kill me. And so I think for me, Farrar is like top of the notch. I love that place.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Phil got attacked really bad there.
Well, I can imagine that in a building that those kind of things had happened, you know, in the history, that men would be more of a, they wouldn't like men there because that would, God, I can't even think of the word. They'd feel threatened by the presence of a male there, right? Because they were predators and they preyed on girls most of the time. So, yeah, they would feel threatened. So I can see why Phil would get attacked.
Yeah, he was sleeping, and he just woke up screaming, and, you know, he said he was burning on his, like, at the top of his chest. So I took him into the bathroom to turn the lights on, not to wake anybody else up, and, yeah, he had a huge red scrape across his chest, and then a scratch, a single scratch down his neck. It was pretty bad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think with locations where there's a lot of negativity that's happened, you know, in our eyes and as human beings on this side, you know, real evil type activity that people have done, you know, it seems like that if there is a demonic force around, it's going to feed off of that negativity in those kind of locations. You know, it's kind of like it attracted to them. You know?
Oh, I absolutely believe that. Absolutely.
Yeah. So you're one of these. You're one of these girls that you could go off in a section of a building by yourself, and it doesn't bother you.
Nope, not at all. I do it all the time. Actually,
wow.
That's one of my favorite things to do because I get better experiences that way.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I have to say, the girls that are on my team, I don't have too much problem with them, you know, being aggressive and going different places. Now, there's some locations.
We're not always aggressive. We're not always aggressive.
I know.
Like, you know, we did a investigation with just Megan and I with. Three other guys, and it was so laid back. Like, we were so laid back.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on the location and, you know, what kind of mood I am in. Like, you know,
yeah.
I'm there to go back. I mean, for a lot of me and that place go round and round. Like, every time I go back there, I'm looking to challenge that same spirit. So, you know, I go balls to the wall at that place. But, you know, other places I'm kind of just more laid back and just ready to experience whatever comes my way.
Well, yeah, definitely. Yeah, you know, that's what, you know, I went with another team. They invited us to come along with them to Yorktown Memorial Hospital, which that place, yeah, it's off the hook. And a couple of my team members had been there before, and there's a demonic force down in that basement, real nasty, real powerful. If you had to rank where this demonic force was, he's not at the bottom of the totem pole. He's about halfway up in whatever ranks they rank him. But we had told the other team, hey, you know, there's a lot of spirits there and there's a lot of activity. You know, you don't have to go right at this bastard in the basement. You're going to get a lot of results, a lot of things, and you kind of need to leave that thing alone, because when you stir him up, he kind of blocks out all the other spirits, and basically you have him to deal with the rest of the night because he's that powerful. And so we go down in the basement. 40 seconds in again in the basement, the team starts provoking. And we got real uncomfortable real quick because we could feel the energy start changing. You know, it was kind of stale, and then my stomach started turning. I was like, oh, shit. And so we're like, hey, we're going to go to the other end of the hospital down on the other end of the basement, and we'll communicate through walkie, because we wanted to see what happened to him. You know, we didn't want to be in the midst of all this crap. And so we stood at the other end, and one of my guys that's a medium, he can see spirits, and he saw this thing come out of the wall with his beady red eyes. He looked at him and started laughing, and he said, this is going to be fun. And he walked down the hall and walked through the wall into the room where the other team was. And it wasn't 3 seconds after he walked through that wall, you hear the team start screaming, holy shit! I started flying, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. And then the rest of the night, we really couldn't communicate. There's some kids there, you know, kid spirits there. There's some nurses that are there. And we couldn't really talk to him because this thing was so stirred up. In the whole building had that evil vibe. And anywhere in the building you walked, you felt like somebody punched you in the stomach. And he basically blocked out all the other spirits there. And we had to deal with him the rest of the evening. And, it got so bad that half their team got sick and had to run out of the building and was outside throwing up, you know.
Yeah.
We warned them, yeah, there's times to go at things, but when you're going at something that really has never existed on as a human being on our planet, why go at it? There's other spirits there. You know, it's been proven with all the investigations going on. I would want to focus on these people that were human and find out what their deal is. Do they need help? Why are they there? You know, what happened in their life? Those are the type I focus on. But no, they wanted to go after the strongest thing there, and it was pure hell. And I think we finally ended an investigation that we started at 9 o'clock. We were everybody there was so exhausted from the energy that this thing was putting out that we were out of there at 1 o'clock. And Mike, the caretaker, is like, you're already leaving? We're like, yeah, we're done.
You know, Farrar does that, where it'll suck the energy out of people and people will just drop and fall. It happened to 3 of us while I was there.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about that.
It happened to me as well. Was it you or no, it was Jess, right?
I don't know. I mean, that's happened to me countless times there.
Yeah.
So your favorite piece of equipment is a ghost box. Why do you like the ghost box?
I like the ghost box because you get live, real-time answers. I like it because you can hear their actual voices. I've done so many ghost box sessions in Farrar that I can tell the different, I know their voices and I can tell who's talking and what they're saying. And, I've even gone to other locations and had the same voices from Farrar come across that ghost box, a different ghost box, in a totally different place. So that's why it's my favorite. I think it's the easiest to pinpoint. Sometimes it is hard, you know, depending on where you're at. Sometimes it is hard to sort through the interference, but if you're in a good spot and, you know, you don't have a whole lot of interference, I think it's a great tool to use.
Oh, yeah. We've done so many. I got the SB7, and that thing Yeah, we've gotten some really crazy things with that. We've done things where my buddy that lives in Dallas, he'll turn his on, and I won't tell him where we're going or anything about the investigation, and we'll go 6 hours into another state, and he can find out every bit of information about where we are, the town, the name of the location, the name of the investigators that are there. He can find all that out from his house.
Oh, for sure. I have the SC7, and then my old team, CCPI, also had one. They took theirs to Villisca one time, and they were just messing around. They didn't do the axe house that night. But they went into the cemetery where the Moors are buried, and I was back here at home, and they actually caught my voice on the ghost box talking to them. And they literally called me up and asked if I was alive.
Wow.
Yeah, we've actually caught our friend Martin that's in Dallas. He actually came through our ghost box. And what we did was he had his on and we had ours on. So we kind of like opened a door, per se, between the ghost box because we both had them on. But his voice distinctly come through ours and said, "Hey, guys, what's up?" So I immediately called him and told him. He's like, "Are you shitting me?" I said, "Hell no, I'm not shitting you. That happened, dude. You just come through our ghost box and said, hey, what's up?" So I think that, I think spirits, they can actually mimic our voices.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Have you ever, and Jody, you can chime in on this too. Have y'all ever had an EVP where they manipulate your voice? Like you're talking, you're doing an EVP session, and then your voice you say something that you normally wouldn't say, or it's kind of changed? Because I've actually heard myself on an EVP recorder, and I'm talking normal, and then all of a sudden I sound like I'm really drunk. And I say some weird stuff, and I'm like, huh?
I don't think I've ever had that happen to me before.
Me either. No.
Yeah, it's weird. We've had that happen to us several times where it's manipulated our voice on that recorder and changed it. Or it's mimicked us in the conversation and we're saying something and then it changes our voice and makes us say something. It's like they're bending the sound waves. They're doing something with them.
Just to play devil's advocate here, have you had this happen on different types of recorders? Do you think it's a technological issue?
No. No, it's been different recorders. It's been different locations. And every time it's happened on one of the recorders, it never happens again. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, it could be something technological, but to have that many experiences, it's not coincidence, you know. It's just, I don't know.
That is true.
I just think that spirits can manipulate more than what we really know.
I think you're exactly right. I think that's the key is that we don't know, and I think, and I hope that we never do know, because the second that we do know, our work here is done. So that's one of the greatest things about this field is that everything is so unknown, and you know, we're all on this never-ending journey to find what we believe are the answers.
Well, it's like, you know, you've been in the field for a while, and I'm sure this has happened to you. You think you're, you know, you've gotten some answers that you've been looking for, and you're on an investigation, and then something happens during that investigation, or after you get back and you start reviewing your evidence, you see something for the first time or hear something for the first time that you've never experienced. You're like, how in the hell did they do that? You know, it's like every time we go out, we have more questions pop in than answers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, all the time. I think every investigation is like that. I mean, there's always something that it's like, I can't believe that happened, or how did that even happen? It's just that's part of the, you know, the thrill and the rush of it all.
to me, the craziest thing that's happened to us that to this day I still don't know how it happened, because we, and I told Jody this, if she can ever get in this sanatorium in Arkansas, this place, it's got the feel of Waverly. It's got 27,000 recorded deaths on the property. It was a tuberculosis hospital. It's 10 stories. Lots of, especially women, the spirits that are there are very aggressive towards women. And, in fact, it grabbed one of my investigators and it left its handprint on her skin. You could see the fingers and the thumb. You know, it was a red mark, you know, a red outline of a hand. And she had gotten grabbed, and it scared the shit out of her. And two other girls got scratched on their neck, three scratches, you know. And while we were there, one of my investigators, I gave him my personal EVP recorder because he didn't have one. So at the end of the night, I'm collecting all the equipment back, and he reaches down in his pocket, and he couldn't find it. He, you know, pulled his pockets inside out. He's like, dude, I don't know where your recorder is. So we're tramping around this 10-story hospital trying to find it, me and him and another investigator, never found it, right? And I physically searched him. I looked there. I was like, make sure, you know, pull all your pockets inside out. Let's make sure it's not anywhere on you or whatever. And he's like, sorry, man, I'll have to buy you a new one. So we're getting ready to leave, and I scream at the hospital, and I said, hey, if any spirits have my recorder, I need my recorder back. And we hop in the car, and we had a five-hour drive back to Texas. And we get within a mile of my house, and everybody's asleep and except me and the driver, and I start hearing my voice. And I'm like, what in the hell is going on? And the guy that lost my recorder, he's sleeping, and I'm hearing my voice over by him. So I wake him up. I said, what in the hell is that? And he reached down in his pocket, and it was a damn recorder.
Oh, my God.
I am not shitting you. Somehow that recorder ended up back in his pocket. And he's not, I'm not going to talk bad about him, but he's not that intelligent to try to pull a fast one on all of us, because his reaction was true. I've known the guy for like 5 years. So for him to pull out that recorder and he didn't have anything in his pockets, yeah. Explain that one.
You know, that happened with equipment too, where it's like we can't find the camera or something. And then it's like we get home and it's right in our case, and we're like, okay, we checked every single case. It was never there. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
How that happened.
Yeah, in fact, I'm dealing with a residential right now where three different family members in three different towns are having stuff disappear from them and reappear. Like one guy, he had an e-cigarette that he had just bought, never took it out of the package, and it was on his nightstand. Woke up the next morning, and the package was there, but the cigarette was gone out of the package. And he looked around, couldn't find it. A week later, he had to crawl underneath his trailer house to do something with the piping. And underneath the trailer house was that e-cigarette. And he lives alone.
That's so weird.
So, yeah, that's what I actually have a case right now where they're not having, like, you know, things flying around or, you know, real crazy stuff that clients will call you freaking out. They're having stuff come up missing, or they'll reappear a month later, you know, those kind of things. And it's not just one person. It's several people in the family. So it's kind of an odd case.
That is very odd, very strange.
Yeah, like I told him, it could be, because think about it. If I wanted to get your attention, I'll start moving stuff or making things disappear, you know, so that you're like, now how in the hell did my keys end up, they were here on the table and now they're sitting outside, you know, on the front porch. How did that happen? I live alone, you know. Well, that gets your attention. So I'm wondering if it's a relative that has passed that is trying to get their attention without scaring the hell out of them.
That doesn't surprise me. I have always, always, always said that if I die and I choose to stick around for a little bit, I'm going to totally screw with all of my friends and family. I'm going to hide their shit, and I'm just going to mess with them. Just because that's the kind of person I am.
Jody, if I die before you, you're in for it, because your provoking is not going to scare me off.
You're going to try and scare me off?
No, I'll just fuck with you. I know I can't scare you, but I damn sure can fuck with you.
Slam me up against the wall. Put your spank on it. That was him. I told him to do it.
You'll get an EVP afterwards, Jody, that says, "Here's my stank."
Yeah. That's right, and then I'll play it for everybody.
I can't wait to hear that. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
You know, I always said when I've been with my team, we're just joking around sometime, I brought up the point one night, I said, how bad is it going to be for future generations that are out there when all the people that have been in the paranormal field all pass away? We know how to ghost hunt. We know how to, you know, we've had shit manipulated in front of us. We have all this knowledge. Then we're going to go on that side. Oh, man. Some people are in for
it. That's true. I mean, there's going to be stuff disappearing everywhere, and people getting EVPs of, like, really weird stuff, like, put your spank on it.
Yeah. Now, if Jody passes away before me, oh, man, I'm in for it. I'll get EVPs of long-ass burps.
I want the
Omega. Yeah.
The better thing.
Oh, my God. Do you want to play some of your EVPs for Megan?
She'll
have flashbacks from her old team.
You want me to?
She'll have flashbacks from her old team.
I want to hear them.
Okay, hold on. All right. Let's see here. Oh, there it is. Okay, this is my team on an investigation, and this is what we caught on our recorder.
Was that a ghost fart?
No. What? That would be one of my team members farting.
Ah, damn. I was going to say, a ghost fart would be the ultimate EVP.
No, but the location what we were at, we got an EVP after somebody farted. They let one of those silent ones, and we were up in the attic. It was three guys. And let a silent one, and we're like, holy crap, because there's no windows up here. And we got an EVP of a spirit going, ew.
That's awesome.
When I was at Edinburgh with two of Megan's old teammates from CCPI,
oh, Christ.
We were in that freezer, and Jess decided to fart, and, you know, I was grossed out. I was like, you know, yeah, that was awesome, but should we leave now? And they're like, no, we're hotboxing this baby. And so we actually asked the ghost box, do ghosts fart? And it said, yep. So apparently ghosts fart, too.
Well, you know, Here's something that'll make you guys. I've never told this story on air,
We were at a residential, and this a couple years back, and my sensitive was doing a reading of the residential home, and there was actually a foundation behind it that was a house at one point. It burned down. All was left was concrete, and we were back there. And he started picking up this mail, this old man, and he had lived in that house. And he started talking to him, and the spirit told him, he goes, "Hey, I got to get a drink of water." Well, that kind of floored my sensitive because he's like, "Why does a ghost need water? You know? You know, is that just something because of habit, being a human? You know, you're like, oh, I'm thirsty, I got to drink water." Well,
yeah.
No, he goes a step further. He goes, Mike goes, "Well, where are you going to get a drink of water?" He goes, "I'm going to walk in that house, that trailer right there and get a drink with my favorite cup." And Mike goes, "Oh, yeah?" He goes, where's the cup located?" Of course, Mike don't know anything about a cup or anything in the house at this point. And the spirit told him exactly where the cup is kept, in the cabinet. So we go back in, and we're scratching our heads at this point, and we talk to the homeowner. And we didn't say anything about what we had just talked to with the spirit. And we were like, "Well, what happens here in the kitchen? Anything go on in here?" And she goes, "Yes, every morning when I get up, the faucet sinks on." We're like, "Really?" And she goes, "Yeah." And I always have to turn it off. And we're like, "Has anything come up missing or anything, you know, whatnot?" And she goes, "Yes, as a matter of fact, my husband has his favorite cup, and it's been missing for a couple months now."
Oh, wow.
And we said, "Well, where is it kept?" And she described where it's kept, and it's exact cup that this spirit was just talking about.
That's pretty
so
wild.
Apparently, this ghost goes into the house to get a drink of water.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
I like to think that they're just like us.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, you know, we've had on the ghost box, we've actually had two spirits arguing back and forth. And it wasn't an investigation. We were just, it was one of those nights where a bunch of us get together, we're just hanging out, you know, BS and whatnot. You're like, "Hey, let's just turn on the ghost box and see what's going on," you know. And these two spirits come through, and they start arguing back and forth. You know, and this thing's scanning, you know, however, you know, a tenth of a second per station. And we're getting full conversations through the scan. And the one male spirit says, "I'll beat your ass." And then the other one says, "Bring it." And then it goes silent for a little bit. And then only one of them comes back and starts talking again. So I don't know if the spirit stepped outside, one, you know, got in a brawl, and one whooped the other guy's ass. I don't know. But I thought it was pretty damn cool if spirits could whoop each other's ass, too. That's kind of cool.
That's really awesome. I mean, I would think, you know, if they can physically attack people, I mean, why not, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know, you know. That's the beauty of the whole thing. We can speculate all we want. We just don't know.
That's true. That's what I love about this field. You never know.
So let's pick your brain a little bit. What kind of theories do you want to find answers to? What really intrigues you about the paranormal, besides provoking and going after dipshits?
I guess as far as, like, are you asking what answers I'm looking for?
Yeah, you know.
I think the biggest question I have is a little bit of background on this. I was raised as a Christian, believing in a heaven and a hell. I still do believe, you know, that there's some sort of a heaven and hell. Like, I know for sure there's demonic. So I know for sure there's got to be something good, too. But my question is, how do these things end up here? Is it residual energy? Is it our, you know, I think there's actually been studies proven that human psychological activity, basically humans can create activity by believing it. So, you know, are there some hauntings that we've created on our own because so many people have been there and created that thought and put that out into the universe? So I guess my biggest question is, what are they? Are they actually people? Are they, you know, the actual spirits and souls of people? Are they just little spouts of energy here and there? That's the biggest question I have. But at the same time, I don't think I want an answer to it. I think I look for an answer to it, but I think deep down I really don't want to know, because once I know, what more work do I have to do? So definitely that. The other question I have is just how they manifest. You know, I know that they use energy, but it's just physically impossible for something invisible to show up like a solid person. So, you know, I'd love to know how they manipulate that, you know, what resources they use, how they're able to manifest or voice their, you know, or say something or make something move. I think that's pretty crazy. It defies pretty much every law of the physical world that we have.
Yeah. Well, I know this from talking to some of my colleagues in the field that are more into the scientific, just strictly scientific research of the side. Scientifically, the way science is, the spirit has to do something in our dimension, our existence. They have to do something scientifically in order for our body to react. You know, our eyes, something has to have, they have to do something in order for it to reflect light, because when you see a shadow figure, it's reflecting light. It's reflecting the dark color. So in order for our eyes to see that dark shadow, something scientifically has to happen for eyes to pick it up. And the same with disembodied voices, you know, where everybody in the place hears somebody scream, you know, and we're like, well, what in the hell was that, you know? Well, our ears picked it up. Well, they had to do something in our physical reality in order for that to happen. And I truly believe that. And that's why it seems like, because I had a couple team members go over to Ireland and Scotland, and you think about it, you know, over here, man has only been in our country so long. You go over to Ireland, England, Europe, where people have been living on the land for hundreds and thousands of years, right? And you come in contact with a spirit that has been dead over 400 years, they have a lot more knowledge of how to manipulate things in our world than, you know, a home where a spirit has only been dead, say, 6 months.
Yeah,
the spirits that the nasty men that are there, right? How long ago were they alive?
Well, that we haven't had actual proof on. Because it's such a small town and it's so abandoned, we haven't found any records or any documentation. So we don't know for sure. But the school itself was built in 1921, I believe. So at the most, less than 100 years. This particular guy, the way that I saw him, he was in his mid-30s, dressed in what I would call mid-50s to early 60s attire. So, I mean, really, I don't know. I don't know if he even is.
Right.
Maybe he's still here. Maybe it's his energy. That's the question. And, you know, going on top of everything that you just talked about, too, another little theory that I've kind of toyed around with, which is very philosophical, is that maybe these spirits aren't actually manifesting. you know, if you think about your senses, your sight, your sense of smell, your sense of touch, your hearing, it's all based on electrical impulses going on in your brain. So what's to say that rather than physically manifesting, they're just manipulating our brains and the electrical impulses going on in our brains so that we see something or so that we hear something?
Yeah, that's true. That's very true because I just going to chime in and say, you know, that's why you have some people that can see spirits, you know, more than others, you know, people that have gifts. So what does it say if at that moment, like you said, they manipulate your head and you see a full body apparition?
Right. The only problem with that theory that I have that's not sitting well with me is if that's the case, then how does our equipment, which has nothing to do with biological function, how does that capture these voices or these shadows or these myths? It's completely unexplainable.
Yeah. Well, I know my take on it for the most part for now from all the information I've gotten, not only from investigating, working with people on my team that are sensitive, talking to other people that are sensitive and can tap in. But my generalized idea so far, and of course this ain't proven, but this is what I think so far. Heaven and hell is all around us, right? And those doors can open and close. And God, even on the other side of the coin, when you're on that side, God still, you still have free will over there. So if you wanted to come back and visit your loved one, you can. You know, because I've had a lot of people that are really into church and into the Bible and all that. I'm not going to get all spiritual on people, but they think, okay, my grandmother died. She's in heaven. There's no way she's here. But we're getting evidence to show, you know, the grandmother is giving us information. You know, she's here. You know, but they don't want to believe it. And so it's hard a lot of times when you're dealing with residential cases because people have, they don't have open minds. They're very closed-minded when it comes to the paranormal. And I think that's part of the problem in our field. There are people in our field that are more closed-minded than others, and they're hell-bent on their theories and what they believe, and you can't change their mind, right?
Yeah.
That's true. That is true. And that's the thing, too, is that, you know, so many people from so many different walks of life are in the field, and they have so many different beliefs. And I think one of the biggest problems with the field is that instead of combining those ideas and trying to figure things out, people fight over them. And I think that, you know,
get out of each other.
Right, right. I think we should all put our heads together and try to work something out. And, you know, maybe if we all bring a different idea to the table, we can actually figure out what might be going on in our universe.
Yeah,
honestly,
it's like,
there needs to be a business that is started, that is funded, you know, and it has people appointed to get into the bottom of it, you know, credible people.
I've always said this, and it'll never happen unless a millionaire out there or somebody in the field wins the lotto. If there was a centralized research center, right, somewhere in the United States that was strictly for the paranormal, right, and you had a lot of people there, photographers, video analysis, audio analysis people, you know, all those kind of things. And all of us as investigators, when we do our evidence review, we send all of our evidence to them. So you have a centralized area where all this evidence from throughout the United States is pouring in, where they can comb through it and see if there's similarities. You know, that's one thing that I've always wondered.
what's the difference between what I'm getting down here in Texas and what Megan is getting up in Iowa? Are there differences? Are there similarities? You know, are there patterns in what these spirits are doing? But in order to find
is
all
there
that, we...
Is there something about the land? That's another thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
That land feeding off more electromagnetic field, which is attracting spirits. You know, I wondered that about Farrar because of the energy draining, and it seems to be a little bit more powerful. Like it throws.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, the other thing about Farrar too is that there's a cemetery like within 100 yards of the school.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I mean, that probably is a contributing factor. Iowa itself has a lot of Native American history, a lot of spiritual history there.
Yeah.
You know, that could be a contributing factor as well.
And see, those are the things, if we had more of a centralized area and sending evidence into, then they could start figuring things out. Well, you know, all the people in Texas, right, for instance, all of us are sending stuff. They could find out maybe more about why certain areas of Texas are more active than others because of the Native Americans were actually living on this same area of land back in the day. You know, you could start putting data together and really figuring out some things and trying to find patterns, because finding patterns, to me, is where you start figuring things out a little bit more, you know? But we don't have that. So like y'all said, in order to do it in a slower manner, we have to share things with one another and not go, well, I got the best EVP that has ever been captured in the history of paranormal investigating, and I'm going to sit on it, and I'm going to use this puppy here to become famous, you know? No, who cares? Put the stuff out there. You know, Jody's put stuff out there, you know, all the time. And good things have happened to Jody and you as well, Megan, just for putting stuff out there. You don't sit on the stuff.
That's exactly it. I mean, you know, I don't understand why people do that, because it's like the whole goal of this is, you know, no one person is ever going to have all of the answers. Whether
no.
or not they want to agree with that or believe it, I don't care. There is not a single person in this world who will ever have all of the answers to the paranormal world. It's just never going to happen, ever.
It's too big.
So, you know,
it's too big.
Exactly. So if, you know, I mean, the more that people combine and the more patterns that people find, the more information that we can discover and the more that we can learn about our world.
Megan, what
exactly.
are your thoughts about UFOs and aliens and all of that? What's your point of view on that? I've never really asked you that.
I do believe in extraterrestrial life. I do believe in life forms on other planets and in other galaxies. To me, the thought that we are the only intelligent living creatures in the entire galaxy and the entire universe is just completely impossible. I find that idea absolutely absurd. You know, I actually have this theory that we are more of a prehistoric, what's the word I'm looking for, very simple creature. And I think that there are other beings out there that are far more advanced than us and have far more information than we do. And I think that they're probably learning from us and they're probably examining and studying us and watching us. You know, that might sound like a kind of creepy, paranoid thing to believe, but I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, you know, look at the way that we as humans study other animals and species on our planet. If we have the knowledge that these other beings have, we would use that to our advantage as well.
Yeah,
right.
Have you ever been abducted?
I have never been abducted. I have seen one UFO in my entire life.
You have?
It was at my home. Yep. It was at my home, my parents' house in West Liberty, Iowa. They actually live on a golf course. And, you know, I'm not going to say for sure that it was an alien. I call it a UFO because it was unidentifiable. But it was basically a triangle of three lights. There was a red one, a green one, and a blue one, I believe. And it was just going, I mean, it crossed the entire, like, horizon within a matter of 10 to 15 seconds. And I'm like, that's impossible for any kind of craft that we have. So, to me, I definitely thought it was a UFO.
Huh. My dad has seen one.
What did that look like?
Well, Dad saw his in California. He was stationed at the Air Force base over there before he was shipped over for Vietnam. And, you know, being in the Air Force, you're trained to identify planes. You're trained to identify everything that goes in the sky because that's what you do, you know. And this thing hovered above their barracks on the base. Right, and it was doing some maneuvers. There was even some pilots out there that couldn't figure out what the hell this thing was because it was doing maneuvers that they've never seen as being a pilot. So,
that's pretty cool.
I know if my dad's seen one, then yeah. And like I said, we'd be stupid not to think we're the only ones on this in this entire universe. That's just dumb.
We are not alone. Mm-hmm. I mean, why would the Egyptians be drawing that stuff, you know, worshiping aliens and all of that? I what you were saying earlier about, like, you know, paranormal activity. Are people creating it? Is it telekinesis? When it comes to aliens, like, there's just no doubt in my mind that they're here. You know, they've always been here. They're part of who we are.
Well, what makes me always scratch my head when you cross the paranormal and the UFO phenomenon together, there are so many, if you take accounts of true demonic oppression, right, where people are getting tormented, not possession, oppression. And you compare them to a lot of these alien abduction accounts. There are lots of similarities, which is really weird. But just like Jody and I talked about this on air before, of people that have been abducted claim that there's a shadow, black shadow figure appear over their bed, right? Or they feel like they're being held down in their bed. Those type of things, if you start comparing them, you're just like, whoa, what is this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, with that, though, I do have to take a skeptical approach because of the whole sleep paralysis thing. I've experienced sleep paralysis three times in my life, and it was absolutely terrifying. So with that, you know, while I'm a believer, I'm also a little bit of a skeptic. And, you know, I would want more information and, you know, more psychological information about those people, too.
Well, yeah, definitely. But, you know, there's other things besides being held in bed that if you start really delving into it, people that are dealing with demonic type activity, the same kind of things happen in abduction cases. Because, like, for instance, loss of time. I know of several accounts of demonic oppression where people have lost time, right? I know for a fact, actually seeing somebody possess one of my team members, we dealt with this thing for 4 hours, and those 4 hours she didn't remember shit. You know, she didn't even know where she was at when she came out. So, you know, there's similarities. I'm not saying it's the same thing or whatnot. It's just
right.
It's one of those things. I start digging into stuff. Maybe I'm over, you know, looking into it too hard, but it's kind of cool.
I think it's fascinating. And, you know, I mean, that's what would be awesome if we did have a centralized research facility for the paranormal is that we could start making those comparisons and start doing that research, but unfortunately, we're just not at that point.
Mm-mm. No. No, that's why Jody and I do the radio, and the best way to learn how other people in our field tick and what they think and what they do is interview them on the show. That's the way I learn.
Yeah.
Good point. It gives you a chance to really dig into it and, you know, scratch below the surface.
Yeah, we get to hear about different people's experiences, and I definitely enjoy it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll ask you this question. We talked about this before on the show, and I always asking people in the field what their opinion is. What do you think about people that are in our field that charge to investigate someone's home to help somebody that's in need of help?
I think that's absolutely ridiculous, and I think it defies every purpose of what we do. You know, while I understand that it is expensive to be a paranormal investigator, but that's part of it, you know. If there's a family that's truly in need, you know, say their life is just absolutely torn to pieces because of this thing, I think it's completely unethical and just wrong to charge for that investigation.
Yeah, and hopefully Matt and Dennis will get this one thing that Brody knows about it. We had this big discussion on Facebook one day because we come across this photograph of the back of this vehicle, and we started doing some digging, and this certain group charges to investigate your home, and they basically, in the way they worded it, they guarantee results.
Right.
So in other words, if they don't find anything, they'll conjure something up.
I guess. Or it also says under there in little fine print, there's no refunds or whatever, you know, on the statement was made on their website. And that was highly disturbing to me. It got my blood pressure up really bad because, unfortunately, these individuals are actually in Texas. And that's as far as I'll go about blowing the whistle on them right now. But,
okay, hey, hold on, you guys, because while you guys were talking about your UFO stories, I texted my son Nathan and asked him to come in here because him and I had an experience, so I thought he could tell you guys about it. It was like 11 years ago, my aunt had a little girl, and so we went to the hospital to see it, and we were coming home, and we got off the highway, off of an exit, and we, like, look over these buildings, and what did you see, Nathan?
It was just something big and just black with lights going all around it. Ooh. It was just huge.
What were the lights like?
They were just, like, different colored, like, orbs. Or, like, they were kind of like lights in a giant craft, and they were just spinning. And there was, like, purple, red, and green. But I don't remember too much about it because I was, like, five, but I still won't really know.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, I even rolled down my window, and you didn't hear anything. And it was gigantic. I've never seen anything like it before in my life. But it was like the bottom part of it was lit up. And like you said, it was spinning. But the top part was huge. And I've never seen anything like that before, ever. I don't know. It was weird to me, too.
That is really weird. Really strange.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you, Jody. Now, I know that you provoke, you know, with spirits. Now, into the UFO side of things.
Uh-huh.
What would you do if you came across an alien?
Depends on which breed it is, I guess. You know, I mean, I've heard that like the reptile ones are like really bad. So, yeah, I don't know.
I was thinking more on the lines when you said that of whether it's a female or a male, and see if it had a cold penis.
Oh, Jesus Christ. My son's standing here. All right, Nathan, beat it. Get out of here. Talking about cold penis now in front of my son.
Your son's growling.
Now, that is an incubus that has a cold penis, and I'm trying to get Richard Contreras to make Megan and I some undies that have, like, you know, if the temperature went down, like, some lights would start going off, and it would, you know, say what the temperature is now, and also if anything got near it, like an EMF reader built into it, too. Where lights go off for that cold penis, you know? How are we going to get to the bottom of that cold penis, Kevin?
I don't know. But, you know, kind of chiming in on what we discussed with, you know, earlier spirits, passing gas or whatever, I've actually been in the location that we're going to next month. It was actually a brothel at one point. And they actually have a room in the place, and I'm not lying. The owner calls this, and all the investigators called it. It's called the sex room. And everybody that's investigating in there always gets EVPs of spirits having sex.
Wow.
So explain that one.
Well, you know, there's a whole sexual side to paranormal that nobody is willing to tackle. You know, there's a lot of reports of people seeing nude spirits. And, you know, Sci-Fi and Travel Channel, they're not going to tackle those cases, you know. They don't really seem like, you know, it just seems like a mainstream television. They're not concerned with that category, okay? Because that is in a category all in itself.
Yeah.
That is true.
That's true.
It's the side of the paranormal that people just don't want to touch. And, I mean, that's, you know, while Jody and I are very controversial, I think that's a cool thing about us is that, you know, we do use our femininity and our sexuality to our advantage, and we do try to provoke those things and find those answers. And I think it's kind of fun.
You know, the way I look at, you know, what y'all do, and I've known Jody for over a year, there's no playbook. There's no rule book on how you go about investigating. Yes, there's dangers. There's dangers in anything we do in life, right?
Yeah,
and
sure.
if you're willing to put yourself out there and put yourself in danger, you know, that's your thing. Because we all do it, whether we provoke or whether we do, you know, wear schoolgirl outfits, whatever. You know, just going into a location and dealing with the paranormal, we're all at risk. It doesn't matter. And that's what a lot of people in the field, they think that, well, I go in and I investigate like this, so I'm not in danger, but if Jody goes in and provokes, she's doing something really bad, and we need to bash her for it. No, because there's no rule book. You might come up, you got girls might get something that all of us have been trying to figure out.
Right.
You know, and you're doing something that most other people don't do. Therefore,
they don't have a
goal you might.
They don't
exactly.
have a goal to do it because they're too scared of what people are going to think. So
yeah,
that's
exactly.
why, you know, when I'm going through my stuff, I usually put out the worst and the, like, most hilarious shit I see while going through the video.
And I don't really put out, like, the real evidence, you know. I'm just putting out the hilarious shit I'm coming across because it's funny to me. And I figure, put out the worst. And if people hate you, then move on, you know. Screw them. I'm not like everybody else, and I don't have the same belief system. That doesn't make me a bad person. People, exactly, like Megan and I, we could have a breakthrough somewhere that, you know, had we not done it or done it different, we, you know, wouldn't have those answers maybe. Every entrepreneur did something different, you know, and, you know, we're just different. It's okay. It's okay.
That's very true. I like being different, though. I would never want to be the same as everyone else because I would never want to. I don't think I would have as good of experiences as I've had, and I don't think I would have learned as much.
Right. Oh, I had a caller, but they hung up, and they were from your area code, Ms. Megan, so I don't know who that was.
Well, they should call back.
They should. I'm not sure who that was.
But, you know, like I said, I don't condone anybody in the paranormal field. Everybody does something, and that's what makes them unique. And, you know, we're all in this together, whether we provoke, whether we don't, whether we do this, whether we do that. We're all in it to try to figure things out, and that's the way I look at it. I'm just one of those people, let them be. And I think our caller came back in, so let me see who this is.
Okay. Megan, do you have a stalker? Same area?
I'm fine.
Wow. Woo! Maybe it's a big fan.
Woohoo! I have fans in Iowa. How exciting. I'm just kidding.
Oh my gosh. Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be?
I know. I want to find out. Who is it?
Mm-hmm.
Da 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 da.
Well, it maybe.
All right, we have our caller on air.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Are you there? Hey, Megan. This is Charles Bruce calling in.
This is who?
How's it? Charles Bruce.
How are you, Charles?
Oh, I'm fantastic. I just happened to be scrolling across. Actually, I was on Seth's page just a little bit, and I found your page and saw you were doing a radio show tonight.
Well, thanks for calling in. It's great to hear from you.
I know. It's been a long time since we've seen each other, but,
I'm
glad to see all things are going well.
Yeah. Thank you. How's Dubuque treating you?
I actually just moved out of there. I'm down in Missouri now.
Congratulations.
Yeah, work-related, but just trying to get my bearings on down here. And I've met a couple people that have similar paranormal interests, so that's always a plus.
Where at in Missouri do you live?
I am in Columbia.
Okay, I'm in St. Louis, so you're about 2 hours from me.
Nice.
There we go.
Yeah, it's I haven't really done too much digging yet, Facebook-wise, to try to find out the groups and whatnot, but just been poking my head around town here and seeing what's out there, what's available, and what's already been researched and not. But it seems I'm liking Missouri so far.
That's great.
You like it?
Well, I'll plug a quick location for you, and Jody can tell you all about this place, but check out Mineral Springs in Alton, Illinois. It's about 40 minutes from her. So it might be about a little under 3 hours from you. Awesome location.
You know what? It'll probably be like right around 2 hours for you. It's actually closer to you than it is me. So, but yeah, it's in Alton, Illinois. It's a really cute place.
Nice.
That's really creepy. More like it. Not so cute, huh, Megan?
Oh, yeah. We had some awesome experiences there last December.
Well, it's funny. I just happened to click on the show, and the first thing I heard was something about cold penises, and I got instantly intrigued.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes.
You never know when you're going to come across one, okay? Like, you just got to be prepared.
I still have yet to experience the cold penis. I have not experienced that yet.
Neither have I.
Well, me being a guy, I hope I don't.
But you know what? I have met several women that have told me that they have been experiencing, you know, those types of things for a very long time.
Well, I tell you what, I was lucky enough to investigate Farrar. However, we went at the wrong time of year for Iowa, and cold penis was the least of our worries because it was freezing in there.
Yeah, I'm sure you were dealing with your own.
Yes.
So what did you think of that place? What do you think of that place?
Farrar?
Yeah.
You know what? The first time we went, it was super exciting. I had heard numerous stories and talked to a bunch of the people from, you know, CCPI and whatnot, and so we were really excited. But that was the time that we went that it was nice weather all week. It was getting really late in the season, and all of a sudden the night we went, it was like single-digit temperatures. So you can imagine a bunch of people sitting in a room trying to find cold spots when it's 8 degrees inside. So it was interesting the first time. But luckily we got to go back when it was warm. And actually that was the time when Megan was there. And it was a blast. It was just a blast is really the only way to describe it.
Anything bad happened to any of your teammates?
No, nothing. What is interesting is, and this kind of plays off of what you girls are talking about with different styles, and you girls really push the envelope, and things tend to happen to someone like Megan, the 5'3", 90-pound little blonde girl. Well, I'm walking up and down the hallway screaming my head off like an asshole, and nothing happens. And all of a sudden, this little girl comes walking down the hallway, and everything happens to her. So it's
that guy hates me. He hates me.
So and that plays off on the conversation you all were having about different styles. I mean, a lot of what we do, since it's so unknown, it's a lot like fishing. You don't know what's going to work. Try everything. If someone wants to go into a building and sit there half naked and scream a ghost, by all means, try it. Because if it works, you're going to be known as brilliant.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think Megan and I are going to be doing some really crazy shit in our future.
Oh, yeah. Really, really crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Any previews for everyone out here listening?
You know, I need to make up a little video of us, man, at Edinburgh, because that shit was off the charts. So you're going to buy our movie when it comes out, right?
Absolutely. You're talking about Edinburgh Manor?
Yeah. Have you been there?
I have not. I know my team has been. I have not. I wasn't able to go that time.
Yeah, we have some great stuff there. So as soon as we get those videos popped out, it's going to be good stuff, worth watching.
Now, Megan, do you still live in Iowa?
I do, yeah. Yeah, I live in the Iowa City area and just work full-time here. And Jody and I investigate together when we can. So I teamed up with Paranormal Hot Squad last fall and have been working with Jody ever since.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, ladies, I know I just got on, but my dog is whining in my ear, so I am going to jump off, but it was very nice talking to you all.
Thank you for calling in.
Great to hear you. Yeah, thank you so much for calling in and for listening and joining in.
Thank you.
Yeah,
for
not a problem. I'm sure I'll catch you again. It's just a matter of catching you on Facebook at the right time.
Absolutely, definitely.
Well, good luck and have fun with the show.
Yeah,
you
all right. Take
all
care.
Right. Thank you.
See ya.
See ya.
Wow, he was really nice, Megan.
He's a very nice guy. He was good friends with Seth and came to a lot of our CCPI events and was always a huge supporter of us. And yeah, great guy, great investigator.
Cool. Well, yay. That was nice to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll be, I know for sure at some point, we'll be seeing a lot more of you two girls.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, you will, believe me.
I think Megan and I are going to start tearing some shit up, you know, at some point.
I got the news from Jody pretty much after, you know, she got the news. And she was like, can you believe this? I was like, no. But that is awesome.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
I can't wait until we can talk about it. I'm just, like, dying to talk about it.
Yeah. Yep. We still are in the dark about so much, but we don't care. We're just fucking enjoying ourselves, and we're going to keep doing our thing, you know? So, Megan, I got some good news today. I finally got the contract for my record deal. I can't say who I'm working with, but
I think I know.
Yeah, I think I told you on the down low, but
yes.
I got that contract today, and, you know, it just makes it more real, like, oh, God, you know, my anxiety level is going a little high, but...
The Queen of Bursts is a rock star, though. I mean, that woman can rip.
Dude, like... Oh, God. I'm like, what the fuck am I about to do? You know what I mean? Like,
oh, it's
seriously?
Awesome.
Nah. Shit's crazy. You know, it's going to be criticized so bad. I'm, like, setting myself up for people to love or hate me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's one week.
It doesn't matter, though. I mean... You're going to have
this
so much
project
fun doing
is
going
to be really controversial, you know, and the name alone of it is like, oh, my God, shut up. And, you know, so right from the get-go, the catcher, the hook is like so jacked up that, you know, like I said, people are going to freaking either love it or they're going to hate it. So, I, you know, yet again, I'm setting myself up for major disaster. But screw it, you know. You only live
you
once.
Go.
And
you
opportunities
go.
And I got to jump on them. They're too crazy not to.
I was going to have to jump in and be the voice of reason that I am a lot when I'm on the phone with you, Jody. And say,
okay.
Screw what everybody thinks and live it up and have fun and enjoy life and be happy.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying.
Amen to that.
Like, you know, honestly, like everything that I'm doing, I'm not trying to be a role model to kids. I'm not targeting kids, you know, at all. I'm not trying to be a freaking role model. I have to be a role model to my kids. That's my job. And not to the rest of society, you know, but that doesn't mean obviously I wouldn't look out for other people's kids, you know, but,
yeah.
You know, as far as, you know, my mouth, it's definitely, you know, I'm not for children.
Yeah, that's where we agree. I'm not either.
Yeah.
I can censor myself when I have to, but really, I don't target children, and I don't really think this is a kid's field. It's an adult field.
Yeah.
Not to say that kids can't investigate or, you know, can't experience things, but as far as, you know, just, I think they would be biting off way more than they could chew at that fragile point in their lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're down to... Oh, go ahead. What?
Oh, I was just going to tell Megan that Jody's coming to Texas in November, so we're going to pop her Texas cherry down here.
Yeah.
And we're going to show her how to do... We're going to show her how to do things ghost hunting Texas style.
You think I'm going to get me a cowboy hat?
Huh?
I think I'm going to get me a cowboy hat or something. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also
ride in, I'll ride in bareback.
Oh, oh, man.
Why
wow.
Is that not surprising?
Right? No, I wouldn't, but, you know, it sounded good, right?
Oh, it sounds hella good.
I know, right?
Yeah, I need to also pop my Texas cherry. I did the USS Lexington and Corpus Christi, but it was a huge event, and it's like a museum, so there was all kinds of crazy, weird, automatic, like, sound systems going on. So I really need to get down to Texas and do an awesome location.
That's right.
Yeah, Texas has a lot of jacked up places, sounds like.
Yes, we do. Lots.
Yeah. All right, well, we're down to the last 4 minutes. Is there anything that you would like to plug about yourself or send people where people can find you?
Well, you can find me on Facebook. I just have a public fan page. I don't have a real profile. So you can find me at facebook.com/MeganCampbellOfficial. If you need to know how to spell my name, look below in the description in my bio. It's just Megan Campbell Official. Like my page. That's where I'll post all of my updates and appearances and all that great stuff. And soon, hopefully, I will have an iTunes store open and also a website where I am starting up a zombie-themed clothing line. So that's in a work in progress. But so be on the lookout for that. If you guys love zombies, I love zombies. So lots of cool stuff coming up, but you'll find out everything about me on that Facebook page.
Thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here. It was great to talk with you guys. And, Jody, I always love talking to you and working with you. So this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And Megan will be on Unknown Paranormal Radio this Sunday. So we'll get to talk to her again.
I will. So tune in again Sunday night if you're still listening, and I'll be here again.
Right.
Nice. All right. Well, take care.
All right. You guys have a great night.
You too.
All right. You too.
Thank you.
Night.
All right.
Nice. So, what'd you think?
I like her.
Yeah?
No one. Yeah.
You see why I like working with her?
Yeah. Well, you got to surround yourself with people that have common interests, you know?
Yeah. She's a.
And you'll get to work
really
with her. Yeah. You get to work with her more, so lots of cool things in the future for y'all.
I know. I can't believe it. Oh, my God. Shit's going to get real. Oh, my God.
Before we go off the air tonight, next week, and sorry, my comment about the cold penis, that's the least of your worries if you tune in next week.
Yes.
Next Tuesday, we have the one and the only Scott Renwald on the show. And between him and Jody, it's going to be You can't miss this one.
Yeah, it's probably going to get that shit crazy.
We go from that show to the next show, which the following week is our big 1 year anniversary of this show and Unknown Radio Network. So we're going to have all the hosts of all the shows on at the same time with special guests calling in. So yeah.
It's going to be crazy. It's going to be hard to talk. Everybody's going to be talking over each other.
Well, I'm going to try to control it as much as possible, but, you know, some of them are going to be drinking some cold beer, and there's no telling how bad it's going to get.
Maybe I'll get some beer, too. Maybe I'll get some beer for next weekend. Yeah. Maybe you should, too. Maybe we should drink next week. I get really loose with my mouth. But in a crazy way, not in a bad way, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So, do you want to play us out, or do you want me? You have something kicked out?
Yeah. Let me go there. Let's see what we got. Yeah. Anything else exciting while I'm looking real quick?
Oh, well, I can go ahead and plug. Tune in tomorrow for Full Spectrum Radio with Matt and Dennis, 8 p.m. Central Time. They always have great shows, so tune in for that. And then Thursday is Ghost Hunting Texas Style with Kevin and Justin. And ending the week is Amy and Chris doing Paranormal Access Radio. So that's the lineup for the week right here on the Unknown Radio Network. Still looking?
Yeah. Come on now.
Like I said, Megan will be on this Sunday on Unknown Paranormal Radio. And I've almost got all of July booked for this show. A lot of cool guests coming on next month. So looking forward to all of that.
All I'm saying is we got to add some songs to our list. So I'm going to send you some songs for next week.
All you got to do is send them. I'll upload them.
Okay. All right. We're going to go with Eeny, Meeny, Miney,